Let's take our Bibles tonight. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. You're glad you're saved? Say amen.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll start reading at verse number 1. Now, just to catch you up to speed, because it's been a number of weeks. Believe it or not, I started a series of messages about 3 weeks ago, I guess, on the gospel. And I preached one message. And then just different things happened. And we had the homecoming last week. And so tonight will be part two in a series that we began. Normally, I don't spread them out every 3 weeks or so. But that's how it just fell in the last few weeks. But we're considering the thought, getting it right about the gospel. Getting it right about the gospel. If there is one area, one thing, one truth, one teaching that you do not want to get it wrong about, that's the gospel. If you get it wrong on some things, don't get it wrong on this area. We've got to get the gospel right. And in 1 Corinthians 15, the first four verses, and essentially the entire chapter is emphasizing this, but the first four verses, we see in very simple terms the message of the gospel. Look at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth in this letter, and the Apostle Paul was the church planter that God used to begin this local church there in the city of Corinth. And he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. What he's saying is, I'm going to say again what I said before. What I preached to you when I first got here, I'm going to remind you of what that message is. Which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. You're saved by the gospel, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, here's the message of the gospel, I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. In a nutshell, in its most simplistic form, the gospel message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what we did last time, we considered the importance of the gospel. And the gospel is important because our salvation is in the gospel. You can't be saved unless you hear about the gospel. Unless the gospel message is presented to you, you cannot be saved. Our identification is found in the gospel. The gospel exposes us as being sinners, but we're also saved by the gospel. So our identity is wrapped up in the message of the gospel. And our vocation is in the gospel. God's will for your life is wrapped up in the gospel. It is God's will for you and I to take the gospel to this world. That's why when you got saved, God didn't zap you on to heaven. He left you here because we're to participate in what's called the Great Commission, getting the gospel to this lost world. So we see the importance of the gospel. But real quickly tonight, I want to consider the ideology of the gospel, the teaching of the gospel, or what is, in fact, the gospel. Well, real quickly, I think we need to look at the definition of the term gospel. What does the word gospel mean? Well, it simply means good news. It means good tidings. The gospel message is good news. In fact, take your Bible, go to Romans 10 real quickly. Romans 10, please. Romans 10. Look with me at verse number 13. Romans 10, verse 13. A moment ago I stated that you cannot be saved unless you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are those who teach that you can be saved and go to heaven without hearing the gospel or hearing about Jesus. But that's far into the Scriptures. If somebody gets to heaven, they're going to get to heaven by hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13 of Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad for that simple truth tonight? If you call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, the Bible says, you shall be saved. That's a promise in God's word. But look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You're not going to call upon him unless you believe. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You're not going to believe on him until you've heard of it. How shall they hear without a preacher? They're not going to hear about him, to believe upon him, to call upon him, until a preacher or someone who has that message shows up and tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Aren't you glad God sends people to go tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet, he's quoting Isaiah here, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. He says a person who takes the gospel to a lost and dying world, he says their feet are beautiful because your feet are carrying you to that individual to present to them the truth of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason why those feet are beautiful is because you're carrying to them the gospel of peace, the good news of peace, the glad tidings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word gospel means good news. There's so much more I could say about that, but I think we'll move on to the next thought. That's the definition of the term. But real quickly, consider the details of the truths. The details. What are the details of the gospel? What is that message? Well, in just a moment, I'm going to tell you and emphasize what the gospel is. But before I do, I want to spend a moment and talk about what the gospel is not. And I think this is where a lot of the confusion is. A lot of people, they understand that Christ has died and was buried and rose again the third day, but a lot of people tend to add other things on top of that and connect other things to it. So I want to talk about, just for a moment, what the gospel is not. Now, after the service tonight, after this message, we're going to have a baptism. We have some ladies that have made a profession of faith, placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and we're going to baptize them. You'd be surprised how many people think that's part of the gospel. I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000,000 more. Baptism is not the gospel. Baptism is not a part of salvation. When we baptize these individuals here in a little bit, that will not contribute any part to their salvation. They've not been baptized yet, but if they died right now, God forbid, but if they died right now, they're still going to heaven because that water does not have anything to do with their salvation. In Romans 1, Paul talks about as much as was in him, he was ready to preach the gospel. Romans 1, Paul says that. As much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. There was probably never a human alive outside of Christ himself who was more excited and more zealous about the gospel of Christ than the Apostle Paul. But you know what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, God didn't send me to baptize, he sent me to preach the gospel. Don't misunderstand me. Somebody gets saved, we baptize them. But Paul baptized people. But he said, God didn't send me to baptize, he sent me to preach the gospel. If baptism was a part of salvation, then Paul would have said, God sent me to preach the gospel and to baptize. But that's not what he said. He said, God did not send me to baptize. So if there's any part of your mind, and it's mind-boggling how in the Southeast, so exposed to the truth of the gospel, and how many people go to churches with the name Baptist on the sign, and they still think water baptism has something to do with their salvation. You can get dunked in that water and die and go straight to hell. You had to be born again first. You had to be saved. After you're saved, and then as a public profession, you are baptized. If you don't get saved and then you get baptized, you're just a wet sinner. That's all you are. It did not contribute anything to your salvation. So if there's anyone in here who thinks that that has something to do with your salvation, please get over that tonight. That'll send you to hell. There are people in hell who thought water was going to get them to heaven. No, it's the blood of Jesus that gets you to heaven. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Name a couple other things that are not the gospel. This may surprise you. Now, on this point here, I'm being very technical. Very technical. But I want to make it clear. Repentance and faith, those two things are not the gospel. Those are the ways we receive the gospel. Now, we do fight over. I have fought many, and others have fought over what is repentance? What is faith? How does a person receive the gospel? And in this series of messages, we're going to deal with repentance and faith. But repentance and faith in and of themselves are not the gospel. They are how you receive the gospel. That Jesus said in Mark 1:15, he said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Believe the gospel. So repentance and faith are not the gospel. That's how you receive the gospel. Inviting people to church is not the gospel. Now, should we invite people to church? Of course. But inviting people to church is not the gospel. Now, if you invite someone to church, I commend you for that. In fact, I encourage all of us to do that. Let's invite people to church. Hey, I know a real good church. I'm in it right now. I like this place. Let's invite people to be a part of this. But if you want to get technical about it, that in and of itself is not the gospel. That 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 5, Paul said this, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." If all we ever do is invite people to church, then we're just talking about the church. We preach ourselves. But Paul says we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You don't give the gospel until you tell them about Jesus. That's when you begin to give them the gospel. Now, should we invite people to church? Of course. In fact, Jesus in his parable in Luke 14, verse 23, he says in this parable, "The Lord said unto the servant, go out in the hedges and highways, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Me and Kathy Rousey were talking as we were coming in the door after prayer tonight, and we were talking about how we had a number of first-time attenders this morning and other visitors as well, And I thought, you know, maybe we need to, because I have not done this, we need to go around and count how many chairs we got in here. Because I don't know how many chairs are actually on the floor. Let's count how many chairs. And that's how much room we got. And when we get those filled up, we put some more chairs in here. And then when we can't get any more chairs in here, we bust some walls out and we expand. Don't have a heart attack right now, Brother Jim. That's vision down the road. Stay calm, relax, rest. But that is where we're going. He wants his house to be filled. And when you fill it up, you make a bigger house and fill that up. It's okay to invite people to church, but don't mistake that for giving the gospel. Years ago, there's a theologian, a pastor from up north named John Piper, very weird fella. And he wrote a book called God is the Gospel. And I want to say tonight that God is not the gospel. God is God. The gospel is the message from God. I'm being technical tonight on purpose. We need to know what the gospel is. The gospel is not just God. If God was the gospel, then somebody could say, well, I believe in God. And then they would be saved if God was the gospel. You can believe God exists and go to hell. In fact, I'd say this, probably the vast majority of people in hell already believe God existed. Atheists have always been in the minority. I'd say the majority of people in hell believe that God existed. The Bible says in the book of James, the devil believes, and he trembles, but he's going to hell. Though he believes God exists. He knows God exists. So God alone is not the gospel. The gospel is the message that God sent to us to believe upon his Son. Grace is not the gospel. Now, the Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, that the gospel message is the gospel of grace. But grace in itself is not the gospel. Grace is the channel that brought it to us. It's God's grace that we don't deserve the gospel. We deserve hell. But God in his grace gives us the gospel that we might believe upon Christ. So those are a few things that people equate with the gospel that are not the gospel in and of itself. So what is the gospel? Go back to 1 Corinthians, please. Chapter 15, and we're going to wrap this up. What is the gospel? Now, we've stated this already tonight. You've seen it. We're going to look at it one more time. The gospel, number one, is that Christ died for our sins. That is point number one of the gospel. The good news is tonight that Jesus died for your sins and my sins. The good news is not that you are a good person. That, before we give the good news, we usually have to give some bad news. In fact, often you'll go to somebody, hey, you want the good news or the bad news first? Most people say, go ahead and give me the bad news. Let's start there. So I'm encouraged with the good news after you drop the bomb on me. Well, even with the gospel presentation, we have to start with some bad news. The bad news is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and left to ourselves in our sin, we are damned and condemned to hell forever. There is none good, the Bible says. No, not one. There is none righteous, the Bible says. No, not one. There's not one. From Adam and Eve all the way to the last person that will ever live in this world, no one that has ever lived deserved heaven except for Jesus Christ. No one that has ever lived is good enough to enter into the presence of God and go to heaven. No one is good enough to get themselves out of hell, to keep themselves out of hell and get to heaven. No one is good enough. If you think that you are going to heaven because you are good, you're mistaken about a number of things. Number one, you think you're good, and you have not seen yourself as a sinner. Until you see yourself as a sinner, you will not see your need of salvation. You have to hear the bad news first. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Do not trust yourself to get you to heaven. Do not trust yourself to keep you out of hell. If you could possibly do that, please tell me, why would Jesus bother dying for you? You know why Jesus paid for your sins? Because you can't and I can't. If you and I pay for our sins, it's hell forever. And there is no hope of getting out, because you don't change who you are and what you are in hell. Condemned eternally. You sin against an eternal God, you'll pay for it with an eternal hell. No one is good enough to get themselves to heaven. And if you say, I am good enough to get myself there, I live a good enough life, I'm a good enough person, I'm a loving person, I'm a charitable person, if that's how you see yourself, and let's say you're right, then you're saying this is wrong. Because this does not say what you're saying. This says there is none righteous. In fact, this goes as far as to say that the best we have, our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. We don't hear about it a lot in these days. Now, there are a few colonies around the world. We don't hear about leprosy that often. But in the Bible days, it was much more prevalent. And leprosy was a horrific disease, and it would just eat away at the body. And the skin would just break open, and I'm not going to get all the into the graphic details of that, but terribly gross what would happen to a person's skin and all of the fluid that would come out. And they would take those rags, just wind them around themselves, just to soak up all of that that would pour out of them. Just, you can imagine the nastiness, the stench, how gross and vomitous that is, just that thought. And they would periodically change those rags and put new rags on. And those rags that they would take off of themselves would be dripping with that disgusting fluid that poured out of them. But that rag that's dripping with that nastiness, God says, that's your righteousness. That's how good you are. That's the best you got. That's the best I've got. Now, do you think that's going to get you to heaven? Do you think that's going to get you a hearing with God? Get you into His presence? Absolutely not. That won't get you into somebody around here's His presence. Those lepers in Bible days, when anyone would approach them, they were to cry, "Unclean, unclean." If you weren't allowed to be in our presence, you know you're not going to get into God's presence. There's only one way you can get into God's presence, and that's by trusting and believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ died for your sins. He died for your filthy rags. He took your place. We're the sinners. He's the substitute. We're the sinners. He's the sacrifice. Christ died for our sins. Then He was buried. Point number two. They took His body. Joseph of Arimathea took His body, took Jesus' body, and placed Jesus' body in Joseph's tomb. His body truly was dead and buried in that tomb. They rolled a stone in front of that entranceway to that tomb. But 3 days later, that stone rolled away. Point number three, Jesus walked out of that tomb alive, conquering death, conquering hell, conquering sin, conquering Satan, conquering what was wrong with you and I. Conquered it all when He walked out of that tomb. He's alive. And because He's alive, having paid for your sin. By the way, He's alive because God the Father accepted the payment. Every sacrifice that was made in the Old Testament for men's sins, when that lamb or that bullock or that turtle dove, when any of those animals were killed for the sins of men, they stayed dead because God did not fully accept those sacrifices. They stayed dead. But when Jesus died, God accepted that sacrifice, and 3 days later, Jesus got up from the grave because He paid it all. If you get to heaven, you escape hell, you enter into the presence of God, it was because you heard that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again a third day. And you believe that with all your heart. And you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, that living Lord. That's your only hope. That's your only hope. Now, there might be somebody here tonight that you really want it to be baptism. You really want it to be works. You want it to be effort. You want to be the goodness of a person. It's surprising how many people, they want it in those terms. The arrogance and the pride of men to reject grace, reject the gospel, and want to try to get themselves to heaven. Religion is a dangerous thing, friend. There's a whole lot of people in hell that were very religious, much more religious than I am, and they're in hell because they thought them being religious was going to get them to God. Religion's never got anybody to God. Religion is what you do once you have come to God. It's not what you do to get yourself to God. Well, how do I get to God? Through the work of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And the message of that work is the gospel. Is the gospel. So let me ask you tonight, have you believed the gospel? And in doing so, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And those who call upon Him are those who in their heart have believed Him and believe the message that was presented to them. To believe the good news, you're going to have to believe the bad news. I'm a sinner. I'm a hopeless sinner. Left to myself, I'm on my way to devil's hell, and deservingly so. I'm a sinner. But Jesus died for my sin. Buried, He rose again the third day. He's alive right now. And if I call upon Him, believing what He's done for me, if I ask Him to save me, and I trust Him and rely upon Him, He will save me. He will save me. And when He saves me, I'm no longer on my way to hell. I'm now on my way to heaven, and I now have access to the presence of God. That's not religion. That's a relationship with Jesus. So let me ask you tonight, how do you think a person gets to heaven? I don't know how many times in my witnessing to other people have I asked them that question. Why don't you tell me? You tell me. How can I get to heaven? If I came to you tonight and I asked you to tell me, how does a person get to heaven? What would you tell me? What would you say? Would you say, got to be a good person? Is that what you would say? There's a lot of people in this community that will say that. Would you say, well, we ought to go to church? Now, don't misunderstand me. We all ought to go to church. But is that how you get to heaven? Would you say that? Would you say, well, you got to take mass or communion or whatever it may be in order to get to heaven? Is that what you would say? Well, you have to be baptized. Is that what you would say? Well, you have to say these certain prayers. You have to read these certain books. You have to live this certain way. You have to do all of these things, and that will get you to heaven. Maybe somebody here would say, possibly somebody in the crowd this size, somebody might in here actually believe. I said this a few weeks ago, but let me say it again, please. And I'm going to say it a million more times before we're done. There are people who believe that God's really going to put all their goodness on one side and all their badness on the other side, and the goodness outweighs the bad, they'll get in. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that that's what you believe. That's how you get to heaven. Your goodness has to outweigh your badness. The problem is, bad news first, there ain't no goodness. Remember them filthy rags? That's your goodness. There is none good, no, not one. Romans 3. There is none that doeth good, none that are righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. We're so wicked, we don't even seek after God until God has first sought after us. You can't even desire God until He draws you, He pulls you. That's how bad we are. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father, except the Father draw him. The only time you can even come to Him is when God the Father is drawing. That's how wicked we are. Amen. Well, how can I know the Father's drawing? You realize you're a sinner? You realize you're on your way to hell? You realize you need to be saved? You realize something's wrong and you're not right? That's the Father drawing. Your flesh doesn't do that, and the devil certainly don't do that. If I asked you to tell me how can I get to heaven, what would you tell me? But if you ask me how to tell you how to get to heaven, or what I would tell you to get to heaven, I would say, you're a sinner. You've sinned against a holy God. You've offended a holy God. You deserve hell. But Jesus left the portals of glory, came to this world, became a man. He is the God-man. He lived a perfect life. And at the end of that life, he died on a cross and took God's wrath toward your sin and mine upon himself on that cross, making a payment for your sin. And then 3 days later, he got up from the grave. He's alive right now. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God right now. And he's waiting for whosoever will may come. And if you will call upon him, realizing you're a sinner, and place your faith in him and him alone, nothing else, no one else, plus nothing else, upon Jesus Christ and him alone, he will save you on the spot. He will save your soul from sin. He'll save you from hell. You won't go to hell. You'll be on your way to heaven. And you'll have access to God. Access to God. My friend, we've got to get the gospel right. And what we're about to do, we're about to baptize some precious ladies who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. What this is a public profession of faith. It is publicly stating, I identify with Jesus Christ. See, baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When I baptize an individual on that way down is a picture of the death of Jesus Christ. When they go into the water, that's a picture of the burial of Jesus Christ. When they come out, that's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It pictures the gospel. It's not the gospel. It's a picture of the gospel. And what that person who's getting baptized is saying is, I'm identifying with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, I died with him. When he was buried, I was buried with him. And when he came out of that tomb, I came out with him. And I'm alive. I have eternal life in Jesus Christ, my Lord. It's the public profession. But that water adds nothing to their salvation. They're just as saved walking down into the water as they will be when they walk out of the water. They'll be no more saved when they're drying off back in the back than they are right now. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. So let me ask you tonight, friend. Have you gotten it wrong about the gospel? Do you think getting to heaven and not going to hell and escaping the wrath of God has anything other than to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what you do with that message? If you believe it's anything else, I plead with you. Open your eyes tonight. See the truth. Believe the truth. And trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and him alone. Don't trust Joy Wampler. Don't trust Fundamental Baptist Church. Trust Jesus Christ and him alone. We had a family join our church this morning, and that joining this morning is not getting them to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way. If you don't know him, you can tonight.